Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is the show about everything podcasting, from equipment to interview skills and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, joined by Matthew, as always. How are you doing, Matthew?
Hello there. I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. It's a bit of a grey day outside today, isn't it?
Yeah, we're being punished now. We had a great run the weekend. I actually got a bit sunburnt when I was out and about. So you've got to take it when you can. I mean, I know it's an early death and all that, but...
The amount we get in Scotland, it's not likely to, it's not likely to take more than days off our lifespan.
Aye, that's true.
Yeah, no, I was saying, actually, I was down in Drumlanrig doing a race this weekend, and it was going to take us 2 or 3 hours to get round, and I knew it was going to be hot and sweaty, but it was actually completely, it was just like so hot before we even started, never mind actually during the race. It was roasting, probably 30 degrees or so, I think. It was ridiculous. But yeah, good fun anyway. It makes a change from being freezing in our office anyway, doesn't it?
Aye, yeah.
So this week for you, we have a few different things. We've got a quick question via voice. So Joe Kearney sent us in a question via SpeakPipe. We love getting these voice questions, so send it in if you can. Go across to thepodcasthost.com/contact and you'll find our contact page, which has a SpeakPipe link on it, which means basically it's just a voicemail thing. You can click a button, you can record a message, leave us on the website, or you can just send it in. You know, you can send it to info@thepodcasthost.com if you want to record it separately and just email it over. I've also got a voice message from Freak, which is an interesting one, so we'll play that later on too. And then we'll finish up with a question from Matt, which is it's going to be good as well. So we're hopefully answering a couple of listener questions, give you a bit of feedback too, and I'll do it for this episode. So let's start off with Joe Kearney to begin with. So this is Joe's question.
Hi, my name's Joe. I'm about to create a website for my podcast. Now, I have an option with my current hosting company to have the new site as an add-on to my current site. For all intents and purposes, the new site will appear as a separate site, except it won't have an SSL certificate. That's my question. Would that be a problem now, or could it be a problem down the road? Thanks for any help you can give me.
So I thought it was worth including this. Thanks for the question, Joe. I thought it was worth including it because we get a lot of people coming onto our site and doing the websites, the Peerless Podcasting Websites course. If you haven't come across that, it's our course where we show you how to set up a website for podcasting, whether it's a brand new one, setting up a new WordPress install, or whether it's kind of converting an existing WordPress website into a podcast-ready one. So this is a question that does come up every now and again. It's whether you need an SSL certificate, basically. So Joe, good approach. If you've got web hosting, often you can have more than one website on that web hosting. So if you run like a business website or a company website, quite often you can just buy an extra domain name and have a personal podcasting website or a personal blog or whatever as an add-on. Works absolutely fine. You're quite right to go that way. You don't generally need an SSL certificate for a podcast website. The only reason you need an SSL certificate is if you're actually doing transactions, like money transactions on the site. So it could be a problem in future if you suddenly decide you want to start selling merchandise like t-shirts or mugs or whatever for the show, or you want to start taking sponsorship through the site or donations and using something like Stripe, which needs an SSL certificate. But to be honest, you can add them really easily. So actually, as long as you know you can add an SSL cert to it, then you're all good. Just check with your hosting that you can do that. And even if you can't, you can break out a WordPress website, you know, back it up and put it somewhere else pretty quickly and easily. So if it saves you bother and a bit of money right now, then it's not a big thing to move away if you need to in future. But to be honest, most podcasting websites don't need an SSL at any point. Even if you do start taking money, like you're working with Patreon, like you do with the ADPP, Matthew, it's, you do that in a separate site, don't you?
Yeah, you just if you have a page that's say titled support, and then you refer people to your support page, but you're actually sending them to Patreon or wherever. That's an option too.
Aye, more often though, I would say you're going to end up taking money elsewhere. You can set up in a WordPress. WordPress is good for setting up an e-commerce site, but there's no need to. So I hope that helps, Joe. Hope that's useful to you. Let's go next to the voicemail we got. So this is from, sent by Freak, and you'll hear a bit more about it in the voice message.
Hello there, Colin. This is Freek Zilvold from the Engineer Podcast. I started this podcast in January of this year, and my ideal listeners are engineers or people who want to study in engineering, start in engineering, and they're looking for inspiration or motivation within their career. How many listeners? Well, I started in January. On average, I get about 10 to 20 listeners per show. I'm on SoundCloud right now. And my best way to reach new listeners is through social media, Facebook, Twitter, my mailing lists. And how do I monetize my podcast? Well, actually, I don't. I'm really doing it to gain experience and to use the information to write blogs and a book. So I hope this helps. Have a great day now.
Thanks for that, Freak. Yeah, so that was a response to our request last week and the one that we put out via our email list, which was just to get some little short clips. So anything 1 to 2 minutes, just you talking about your podcast, just what works for you, what doesn't, everything that you're doing around monetization, promotion, you know, listener numbers to give us some metrics, because it's great. People love to hear that, to be able to compare themselves to others. So if you want to send something like that in, just like Freak did there, we can obviously mention your podcast, so maybe get you a few more listeners too. Then you can send it over to info@thepodcasthost.com, or you can do it via our SpeakPipe page, which is over at thepodcasthost.com/contact. And of course, you can send us questions that way as well. Alrighty, let's get on to Matt's questions. This is our main question for the day, which is from Matt. Now, Matt was asking, so Matt said, one question that I've had brewing in my mind, what is the conversation like when you do an interview call? Is it straight through, just like what is published, or is it often choppy with you having to start over or asking a guest to rephrase something? I'm launching my first podcast and I'm struggling to get the hang of how much or how little to edit the conversation during the call versus in post-production. Thanks from Matt. So thanks very much, Matt. That's a good question. How would you run an interview? How'd you go about it, Matthew?
It's one of those, again, I always feel like I repeat myself. It's one of those that you get better with practice.
Yes.
Through interviewing. But there's a bit more in depth that we could go into that, really. So with things like interviews, you're bringing in different people all the time, and these people, depending on your niche or topic, are going to have wildly varying experience of doing things like this as well. So I think, firstly, being quite diligent about, like, does my guest know what to expect here? Yeah. You know, do they know it's a recording? Things like, you know, are they making sure they're in a silent area? Are they using a decent microphone?
Yeah, so just the prep stuff. Yeah.
Spending a bit of time doing some prep could go a long way towards it being a smooth experience when you actually come down to sit down and do the conversation. So, Colin, we've got a little document we give to people inside the Podcast Host Academy, and that's like a checklist, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a PDF that they can send to potential guests or guests that are coming on their show.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of coaches them on the sort of basics of sitting down to record an interview. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, because it's on the one hand, it's handy to say to someone when you're about to do one of these conversations that it isn't live, and if there is a point where you would like an edit, don't be afraid just to say so. Mm-hmm. There's kind of two schools of thought here, and one is that doing that's great if you really need to do it, but I often find that it could become a bit of a crutch. So we went through a period a couple of years ago recording the audio drama production podcast where we just became so reliant on editing that we would stop and start and stop and start. And actually, when you sit down and edit it, it just didn't flow very well at all. Mm-hmm. So we tried to get more into the habit of, like we do now, Colin, you know, let's just pretend this is going out live. Mm-hmm. If something happened that we really needed to make an edit, we could. But let's try and not use it as a crutch. So I think to do that conversation as live or as much as you possibly can, you're going to get a conversation that flows a bit better, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Keep it dynamic. And I mean, I think, the way I see it is I tend to assume I'm not going to edit an interview. Just like you say, you treat it as live. But for me, partly, it's about the confidence to take ownership over it. It's about not being afraid to tell the interviewee that you want to go back and rephrase a question, or and to be honest, you can do that without having to require an edit. I think a lot of it's about summarizing stuff. Mm-hmm. So if an interviewee says something, they take 2 or 3 minutes to say something, and you pick out a couple of nuggets there, and you can say back to them. So what I'm hearing is, this is like blah, 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 blah. Is that actually what you're saying there? And then they'll tend to say, yeah, of course. And then they'll, you know, just because they tend to want to add and show their value and stuff, they'll tend to rephrase it again. And actually you get down to the nuggets at that point. And it doesn't necessarily mean you need to edit it, but you can do. Like, it just means you're bringing out the really valuable points. You're rephrasing it, you're summarizing it, you're highlighting it. And you could actually edit out those bits if you wanted to afterwards. I'm not saying that you would, but it's just an option, isn't it?
And there's a great point that you make as well. And so many people overlook it, and I've been guilty of this in the past, certainly, is to actually listen to your guest responses.
Yeah, because
how many podcasts do you listen to where someone will give an answer and you could tell the presenter's just going to the next point on the Word document. Okay then, and what about this? And you're thinking there was actually a bit more to be asked about that. Yeah, you know, what did he mean by this, or what did she, what happened next to her? So listen to your guest. That's how you're going to get a good conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think over time, like you say, interviewing is a real skill. People underestimate how hard it is to do a good interview, and they underestimate the difference between a really experienced interviewer and a novice one in terms of how good the show will be. I mean, there's interview shows out there that do really well and other ones that just don't at all, and the difference is like how good they are at drawing out good valuable stories and stuff like that. So you get better at that on the fly editing, I think, as you go. But even if you're really good, I think there's a point of difference, isn't there, in the fact that you edit interviews. So if you do decide you're going to do a 1 hour interview, and rather than release that hour, you're going to edit it down to 20 minutes. And I don't think it necessarily has to be a really involved process either. Like, you can actually just listen through yourself and just mark down, highlight the bits that you really enjoyed and just cut out everything else. I'm not talking about like editing sentence by sentence. I'm talking about maybe question by question, say, or like a few paragraphs of an answer and cutting out the rest, just picking out the highlights essentially. And there's some interview shows that I listen to that do that, and they're better for it. They cut out the fluff basically and just take the highlights. And obviously you're committing more time to it, but there's a definite point of difference there, because most people don't do that. And a lot of interviews are quite waffly with ups and downs.
Yeah, I find myself doing that in recent years, is that especially if I've done a long interview, it's to go back and think, what of these questions, is there an overlap in answers? Yeah. What answers maybe didn't provide that much value in the end? Yeah. Maybe they didn't properly answer the question, or maybe there just wasn't a very interesting answer to it. Yeah. Don't be afraid to just be brutal and say, this isn't adding anything, just get it out.
Yeah.
Much rather a really, really valuable 15-minute conversation with loads of good stuff for your listener than having to sort of troll through this hour-long thing with just a lot of fluff in it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's ways, if you want to take real control over it, there are ways, like you're talking about, Matt, you're asking about, is it going to be choppy with you starting over, asking guests to rephrase something? I mean, you can treat it that way. You can treat it like you don't want to do much editing afterwards. And what you're doing is you ask them a question, you get their answer, and then you have a quick 2-minute chat with the guest about, well, I like this part of that, I like that part of that, let's ask the question again. And you make some kind of audio signal in your recording, like we've talked about before. Like, so I tend to click in it so you can see it really obvious. Matthew, you tend to snap your finger sometimes, or clack maybe, don't you? So it's something that shows up, and that actually means that you're not really doing, it doesn't take much to edit it, because you're deliberately rehearsing questions, redoing them, but you're going to see them really obviously in the post-production. So you're going to go through, and all you're doing is looking for those signals, and you say, right, that's the final take, that's the one we're going to use. So you're really quickly going through and cutting it all out. You're not having to even review by listening through the whole thing again. So I think there's ways like that to do an edited interview, but in a really kind of efficient time-efficient manner. It takes a bit of confidence there and a bit of prep with the interviewee as well. Like, you have to make it clear that that's the way you're going to go about it. But it's another approach, I would say.
Yeah, interviewing, again, repeating myself, but it's one of those things, you do it a lot and, you know, it becomes easier.
Yeah.
You learn the best ways of coaching people and setting the things up. You start to know what to look for, especially the technical aspects, like is this recording? It becomes like driving a car before you know it. It's a lot of it's just second nature, a lot of it's in your subconscious, and you can really focus on the important part, which is the conversation and your guest.
And I mean, there's exactly. So once you get to that stage, there's no need for all the editing, because you've probably listened to great interviewers out there and been wrapped with every single bit of it, because they're capable of asking the right questions which draw out the right answers, and being confident even to interrupt during certain bits in tactful ways, so that, you know, your interviewee doesn't go off track or get a bit rambly or whatever. So yeah, it comes with time. We've got an interview course in the academy. So if you want to get some more on that, if you want to get some more interview skills, thepodcasthost.com/academy, which is our premium content, really our how-to courses from launch stuff to interview skills. And also live coaching. So an hour every 2 weeks, where you can come in and talk to us live as well. I had a good session last time around with a couple of members who came in, and actually we talked about interviewing, and we talked about that resource that you were talking about, the Skype checklist that we send out to people. So if you're in the academy, you get that checklist that you can send out to your interviewees to get them prepared, make sure the sound quality is good, everything from headsets to environment, and then a few bits of prep around how you're going to speak and all that kind of stuff as well. So hope that's useful to you. That's thepodcasthost.com/academy. Alrighty, I think that'll do it for the week. What have you got planned for? We're on Thursday today. You're in tomorrow for a change, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be doing a wee bit of work on my podcast, which hasn't yet launched. My space-based podcast.
Indeed. I can't wait for this to come out. What stage are you at just now?
Still writing the script, but I have carried out the interview I needed for these specific episodes. So I'm taking my own advice and pushing forward with it and trying not to be too perfectionist about it.
So you've got your three episodes around a moon. Do you want to give it? Is it all right to say what it is?
Titan, the moon of Saturn, the largest moon of Saturn. Indeed. It's a very interesting place. The Scotland of the outer solar system, that's what I like to call it.
Because it's freezing and it's not somewhere you'd want to live.
Yep, exactly. So yeah, that podcast is in development, and now that I've said it on the show, I'm accountable and I need to be moving forward with it.
I can't wait for that. See, the approach for that you've gone, I mean, it's a high production one, isn't it? So you've scripted out a lot of it. There's going to be a bit of fiction in there as well, like some drama segments, isn't there, sort of acting as if there'll be astronauts on these planets and going out and exploring and stuff. And you've got interview segments in too, though. So there's a lot involved in this, isn't there?
Yeah, loads happening. Yeah. So
have you got an idea of how much time you've spent on each episode so far?
Not really, no. I could probably find out, but no, it's taking a bit of time.
It's days, isn't it? Cool. All right, well, we'll update the listeners on that when it comes out. We'll have to launch it with a bang. Thanks very much for listening. You can get the show notes for this episode over at podcraft.net/805. And again, you can get in touch with us. Any questions, any comments, you can get into info@thepodcasthost.com, on Twitter, The Podcast Host for short ones. And if you want to give us that speak pipe message, like we said, go over to thepodcasthost.com/contact. Otherwise, have a good week, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.
See you later.